You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Now, I've really got a word from God today, and I feel like it propels us into what God wants us to do both now and in the future. I'm believing today that you'll be more than just encouraged. I mean, being encouraged is good, but more than encouraged, I want you to be impacted by the Word of God. Today, that there's going to be a spiritual exchange that equips you and empowers you for the work of the kingdom. Who's excited about that? You know, I say today, let your heart receive fresh vision. Let your heart be set on fire. I truly believe that today, this Word it's pivotal for us in outworking the commission both personally and collectively as a church. Who's excited about that? God's Word wants to equip you and empower you for purpose. I truly believe that God has prepared, that He has planned for us to take the good news of Jesus, and He's called us to go to people who are yet to know His forgiveness, His goodness, His faithfulness, and His mercy. God has prepared and planned for each and every single one of us to do that. Now, the last couple of weeks, you've heard messages around us growing our roots down deep into the teachings of Jesus. And I want to share with you today our reason for going and sharing the good news of Jesus. Our reason for choosing to be activated and committed to God's mission. You know, the good news of Jesus, it's to be shared. It's not to be watered down. It's not to be forgotten. It's not to become only your good news. It's the good news of Jesus, and it's been made available to forgive and restore all humanity. Amen. Today is a news flash moment. We are literally interrupting our daily broadcast. I truly believe that God has downloaded this into my spirit because He wants it to come alive in each and every single one of us. You know, in Luke 24, we see two followers of Jesus walking from Jerusalem back to Emmaus. It's around 11 Ks from Jerusalem. It was Sunday, and Jesus had just risen, and people had been told that Jesus had risen from the grave, but there was still confusion as to what was going on. And in verse 14, Jesus begins walking with these two followers and starts sharing with them and talking to them about the fulfillment of the scriptures through Jesus. And after He left them, and this is in verse 32, this is what it says in Luke 24, verse 32, stunned, they looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize Him? Didn't our hearts burn with flames of holy passion while we walked beside Him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the Scriptures." See, when you meet with Jesus, when Jesus walks with you, an encounter with Jesus will set your heart on fire. An encounter with Jesus will set your heart on fire. See, when we encounter with Jesus, He downloads and reveals to us the Scriptures clearly and helps us to understand things that we can't figure out in our own mortal minds. He reveals to our spirit and it becomes revelation for us. He brings revelation and truth around His Scriptures, His heart for people. See, as we unpack the Scriptures today, my prayer is that Jesus comes and encounters you and sets your heart on fire for the mission of Jesus. Now, maybe your heart once was on fire for the mission of Jesus, but you've just got caught up in daily practice. I want to encourage you, it happens to each and every single one of us. This is why this is a newsflash moment. We're interrupting what the daily broadcast has been because Jesus wants to reignite our hearts on fire. Amen. So the first thing that you need to know today is that you're chosen, appointed, and commissioned to go. I'm not saying that. The Scriptures are saying that. Amen. John 15:15-17 says this, "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. You've been made a friend of Jesus." if you're feeling on the outside, you are no longer on the outside. You've been made a friend of Jesus. You may feel like that in your emotions, and that's why we need a revelation. What do the scriptures say about me and my relationship with God? You are now a friend of Jesus. Since I've told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Can we just pause on that for a moment? I feel like sometimes we get caught up in this daily practice of like we're asking God for things. And we're asking in His name. And we're wondering sometimes maybe why it doesn't come to pass. Are you living out the passage before? Are we as a church living out the passage before? Are we found in the fact that He chose us and He appointed us and He's called us to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name? This is my command, love each other. As we outwork this scripture in its fullness, let's not just be found coming before the Father asking for things, but not outworking the mission. We're called to outwork the commission and love each other and love others. Then when we come before the Father, He's like, you're outworking my commission. I just want to pour upon you everything that you need, everything you could possibly need for my mission and reaching out to the community and your friends and your family. I'm going to provide everything you need because you're being faithful to the mission. It's exciting, isn't it? So you've been chosen. You've been chosen to go and bear fruit and lasting fruit. And how does fruit last? Bananas, anybody? Bananas? Cutting apples? Come back a couple of minutes later and it's like, what just happened? I mean, you can only stockpile so many bananas and think, I'm going to do a banana cake. I'm not going to do a banana cake. See, how does fruit last? When the fruit is people who've responded to Jesus. That's how the fruit lasts. When you're going out and you're sharing the nature and the beauty of the gospel and the good news of Jesus, newsflash, fruit lasts when it's people who are responding to Jesus. When you outwork your chosenness, when you choose to go, it's a choice, amen. When you choose to respond to, when you choose to go out and produce lasting fruit, it's when we outwork this call, we outwork this commission that God promises to give you what is needed and required. What is this good news that you've been commissioned to go and share? So this is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus that we've been commissioned to go out and share. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 says it like this. Let me remind you, brothers and sisters, this is what we're doing today. We're being reminded of the good news that I preached to you when we first met. It's the essential message that you've taken to heart, the central story you now base your life on. And through this gospel, you are liberated, unless, of course, your faith has come to nothing. For I passed down to you the crux of it all, which I had received from others, that the Anointed One, the liberating King, died for our sins and was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. All this happened to fulfill the scriptures. It was the perfect climax to God's covenant story. This is the good news. This is what we've been commissioned to share. This is the heart of God towards all people, not some people, not just nice people, all humanity. Jesus alone is the liberating King. Jesus alone is the liberating King. He made a way for our sins to be forgiven through the death, burial, and resurrection. This is the good news for each and every person. This is the good news. Let me say it again. This is the good news. Remember back to when you first got saved and you heard it for the first time, and the good news set your heart alight and on fire? Do you remember? Do you remember that moment when all of a sudden the world made sense? All of a sudden the conflict was over. All of a sudden peace came in and resided in your spirit. Remember the moment. This is the good news. Sometimes when we've been saved 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 120 years, anyone been saved 120 years? I've been saved forever because it was preordained before the beginning of time. Amen. Feel free to join me in that story. This is the good news, that God loved humanity, loved people so much that he made a way. Newsflash, this is our good news story. The good news story is that God loved humanity so much that he made a way through Jesus. This is our good news story. Not something to be hidden, not something to become familiar with. This is all we need. This is all that matters, that Jesus made a way. In Psalm 96, we're encouraged to broadcast the good news. This is what it says. Sing a new song to the Eternal. Sing in one voice to the Eternal, all the earth. Sing to the Eternal all the good things he has done. Bless his name. Broadcast the good news of his salvation each and every day. Enlighten the nations to his splendor. Describe his wondrous acts to all people. It doesn't get much more clearer than that. Amen. Amen. See, your life has a song to sing. But Pastor, I can't sing. Your life has a song to sing. Didn't say your voice. Your life has a song to sing. It has a song to sing of the good news of his salvation. And we've been created to sing it each and every single day. See, if you know Jesus, you've got a song to sing. If you know Jesus, sing a new song as often as he does a good thing. I don't know about you, but when we stand back and have a good, hard look at it, Jesus does good things in our life every day. Every day. But often there's so many things going on in our own lives and in our community and in the world that we're so distracted that we just need to focus in. What has God done good today? I need to sing a song of the good things Jesus has done. I need to proclaim his splendor to the world. My life needs to proclaim that. It's a whole other message here. We'll do that another day. See, when God intervenes in your life, sing a new song. When God saves you from ruin, sing a new song. Let your life sing a song of thanksgiving and gratefulness. Let your testimony be known. Tell someone that he saves. Tell someone that you met the Savior and the hope of the world. Share it daily. Awaken people to how wonderful and amazing he is. See, at times we can get caught up in the daily doings of life. Anybody? Just me. We can just get caught up in the daily routines. Routine's awesome. But when we get so caught up in routine that it stops us from pausing and saying, God, you are good. You saved me from ruin. You saved my children from ruin. Thank you, Jesus. So when we do our jobs and we look after ourselves and the people around us, and when we commit to other things that take our focus and take our time, when we go through the routines little bit by little bit, we lose our passion. Little bit by little bit, we forget our reason for living. We can grow tired and unfocused on what matters most. So what do we do when we find ourselves caught in distraction? What do we do when we find ourselves caught up in routine? What if we do if our heart has lost the first love that we had from when we met Jesus the first time? Here's an example of what we're given by Jesus in Matthew 25. It's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Is anyone familiar with the parable of the 10 bridesmaids? It's what it says from verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, they were roused by a shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All of the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps, but then the foolish 5 asked the others, "Please give us some oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." Seems a bit harsh, right? But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch. For you don't know the day or the hour of my turn." Can I encourage you? You got to learn to keep your heart full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need to keep your life full of the oil of God, the Holy Spirit. You need to have enough oil in you. Have enough oil ready to keep your heart burning and set. This is what the story is about. It's got nothing to do with someone being mean and not passing on some oil. There's a responsibility on all of us individually not to live out our fire through somebody else, not to live out our salvation through somebody else, not to keep ourselves alight through somebody else's oil, but to let the oil of God, the oil of the Spirit, fill us continually so that we can be in a place of readiness. Individual commitment to keep yourself before the Father. Say, "Father, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. I need your oil because I want to keep the fire burning within me." It is literally a choice to put yourself in a place. It's like, "I need to be filled afresh. I don't want to be caught out. I need to be ready right now and filled full of your oil." Keep your salvation burning and focused on Jesus. Keep your heart full of the Holy Spirit. Don't grow tired in your salvation. Stay awake. Be prepared. Carry wisdom. Make decisions that draw you closer to God. Don't get distracted or unfocused. Make decisions that keep you drawn closer to Jesus. Luke 12:35 says this: "Get dressed for service and keep your lamps burning." Always be ready. Always be ready to share the good news. Always be ready to meet with Jesus, whether it's a one-on-one encounter or it's his return when he comes back. Amen. Whatever the moment, always be ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Keep the fire of God burning in your spirit. Amen. See, in 1 John chapter 2, we're encouraged to keep the message burning within us. In verse 24, it says this: "So you must be sure to keep the message burning in your hearts. That is, the message of life you heard from the beginning." We need to keep our first love burning in our heart. It's too easy to be distracted, amen. It's too easy to have our focus drawn off onto other things. There's so many things that we can get involved in and commit to and do this. But let me be clear today. God has called us to keep the message we first heard burning in our hearts. Yes, we go through things personally. Yes, we go through things within our family. Yes, we have challenges within our workplace. That's part of life. But let's keep Jesus the center, amen? And it goes on to say that if you do, you'll always be living in close fellowship with the Son and the Father. Never be alone. Never be isolated. Kept close to your loving Heavenly Father through Jesus. Amen. Keep the hope of salvation in your heart and the good news of Jesus in your heart. Let it keep the fire burning. Let it keep your salvation on fire so that we can be ready to share it with others. Amen. It's not just for us. Yeah, it's awesome that Jesus is coming back and we're gonna meet Jesus. But it's for others as well. Newsflash this morning. You've been chosen for salvation. You're appointed to share the good news of Jesus with others and see them known and see them redeemed. Share it through your life. Share it through your words, your deeds, your actions, your kindness. Let it point people to Jesus. Keep the message burning in your heart. Keep your heart on fire. Keep your heart on fire. How's everyone doing this morning? You with me? In Luke 11, verse 33, this is what it says. No one would think of lighting a lamp and then hiding it in the basement where no one would benefit. A lamp belongs on a lampstand and where all who enter may see its light. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out. Watch out you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. It's so relevant in the time that we live in, amen. So many opinions flying around. So many, you need to believe this now. So many disenfranchised Christians who have been hurt by church traditions, and that it's forming opinions in people, and it's like, let's be clear today. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the center. For those of us who have been with it on our journey for the past couple of years, we're doing all we can to forsake religious tradition. All we can. Anything to strip back any form of religious tradition in our church and in our lives. Let's keep stripping it away. Because Jesus is the message. Jesus and the hope of Jesus is the message. We don't want people to get caught up in other things, living their life by laws and traditions. No, we need to live it according to the life and the word of Jesus. Amen. And if you've been hurt by religious tradition, I put it out there today. God wants to come and bring healing. And I'm sorry for whether it was this church or another church has bring pain to your heart because of religious tradition. The heart of Jesus reaches out to you today and wants to bring restoration and healing. Bring you to a place where you can stand firm on the foundation of Christ and launch into everything that He has for your life. Amen. So if your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you'll be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. By the way you live. Not by what you say, but by the... Nate just did it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that may have been directed at me from... She got a secondary amen from her sister. By the way you live, I encourage you with this today. When Jesus sets your heart on fire, it's for display purposes only. When Jesus sets your heart on fire, it's for display purposes. You know when you go to a shop and you pick up a phone and you're trying to use it, it's like, oh no, this one's for display purposes. It's like, but it doesn't work. No, when Jesus sets your heart on fire, it is for display purposes. And if this is something that's new to you, or to you, perhaps you used to have faith in Jesus on display for all to see, I want to encourage you, it's time to begin to let your faith, your belief be on display for people around you. Let your heart be burning with the light of Jesus in the places that you've been called to be a beacon of light. Let the way that you live reflect Jesus to the people around you, just as the team comes this morning. Perhaps hearing this right now about your life being on display for display purposes, perhaps you're like, I don't want my life on display right now. I don't want people to catch a glimpse of what's really going on right now. My encouragement to you today is that God wants to revive your heart. He wants to revive your heart, to begin to burn again in your heart. That fire that's gone out, he wants to reignite. Those things that have taken place of where the fire used to be, he wants to take them out and set your heart on fire again for what matters. He wants you to come to him and surrender your heart again, surrender your life again. Let him begin to bring some function back into your life. Spiritual, godly function in your life. Let his message begin to guide you again. Let his salvation bring hope and passion back into your life. You know, some of you may have heard my story a little while ago of finding Jesus, but it's summed up in this passage of scripture in Romans 10, 13 and 14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? See, my testimony was a friend who was unrelenting. He kept asking me to come to church. My friend didn't give up in showing his faith through the way that he lived. He didn't hide the light that Jesus placed in him. He went out of his way to create a way for me to find Jesus. He didn't preach to me. He let the preacher do that. He didn't shame me into faith. He wanted the best for me. He was my friend. When I felt like I didn't have a friend in the world, and the Creator definitely wasn't my friend yet, he was a friend. His life was on display and he shared the good news of Jesus. See, what's your testimony? Who made a way for you? Who loved you? Who had their heart on fire, burning with the message? Who made sure that you heard about Jesus through the way that they lived? Who told you? Who made sure that they were broadcasting the good news of salvation to you? It was someone. Who was it? See, everything we've been talking about today is that we're called to do the same. Like, but Pastor, like, if you only knew what was going on in my life. I hear you. I hear you. Every single family in this building right now has stuff going on, has stuff that's happened in the past, has stuff that happened yesterday. I want to encourage you. Even when life gets difficult, Jesus is still with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And you have the good news in you burning already. Your friends and family who don't, they need you to be the person with your life on display. I say these things prophetically for each and every single one of us today. That the future of our church is found in our hearts being on fire with the message of Jesus, showing it, declaring it, sharing it. The future of our church is found in our hearts encountering Jesus and taking it to others. The future of our church is found in each of us asking our friends to come and find the hope of Jesus. The future of our church is found in each of us showing our faith by the way that we live. When I talk about the future of our church, I'm not talking about the things that we're going to do later matter. I'm talking about the things we do right now determines the future of our church. Amen. See, the Apostle Paul came to this place in his life, so on fire for the message of Jesus to be known. Acts 20, 24 says this, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. There's so many things in life that we rank in our lives of what matters, and they all matter. But the one thing that takes the top of the queue is the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God, the love of God, the favor of God that he has for every single person. The greatest thing that you could ever do, above your serving, above your role, above your title, above everything in your life. The greatest thing that you could ever do is share the hope and good news of Jesus with others so that they can respond and receive forgiveness and restoration from God. Nothing else. If you were to never serve another day in the life of church, if you did this every day, I'd be okay with that. Please don't pull out of everything. But you get what I'm saying, right? All those things are great. When we serve in church life, we're serving the body and we're encouraging each other and we're mutually refreshing each other through our service. But the greatest thing that you can ever do is share the good news of Jesus with others. Give them an opportunity to respond to forgiveness so that they can say, God, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn my heart to you. I'm now known by you. I'm counted as a son and a daughter of God. Greater than your skills, greater than your talents, greater than your time given, greater than what you do, greater than who you perceive yourself to be, is sharing the message of Jesus. Have it burning in your heart. See, I wanted to intervene with this news flash this week, that our hearts be set on fire for the greatest thing. The two things that I want you to take away from this message today is this. The two things that we need to do with our salvation: stay on fire and be ready for Christ's return. And the second one, share God's salvation with people. The two things I want you to take away. Keep salvation burning like a fire in your heart and be ready to share that with other people. That's what matters. That's the heart of God. That's the commission that Jesus called us to. And I want to encourage you today, it's not a sacrifice, it's an honor. Amen? It's an honor to join God in the commission. It's not a sacrifice. I heard someone saying this week, it's like, if a king asks you or a queen asks you to do something, it's like, what an honor to outwork that commission for the king or the queen. Well, I tell you today, what an honor to outwork the commission of salvation for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. It's not a sacrifice. He's made the sacrifice. We get to join him as honorable colleagues, honorable friends in the mission of Jesus. As we're coming to the end this morning, I want us to obviously have a moment to respond to that, because I truly believe that God wants to pour his oil into hearts in this place today. That our hearts be reignited and set on fire for the thing that matters the most, the commission of Jesus. This is the future of our church. This is the future of our friends and family knowing Christ. All of us set on fire and outworking the commission with our lives on display. Amen. Amen. Why don't we close our eyes for a moment this morning? If you're in this room this morning, if you're watching online this morning or at a later time, I want to give each and every single person the opportunity to respond to God's salvation this morning. That's what we've been talking about today, that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus. He was buried, resurrected on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins. If you don't know him personally, if you haven't responded to faith personally, maybe you once walked with him but you've been off on your own journey for a bit, I want to encourage us, it's time to come into relationship with Jesus. Time to receive his grace, his love, his favor, his forgiveness, and be forgiven of your sins. If that's you today, this is your moment. With everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, I want to invite you just to lift up your hand. And once you put up your hand, you can put it back down. So yeah, I need to receive Jesus. Is there anyone here today within the room or watching online or at a later time? This is your moment of response. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. See that hand? You can pop it down. Is there anyone else today? See, I need to get my heart right with God. I need Jesus to be dwelling within me so that I can walk this life that I've been called to walk in relationship with God. If you've responded online today, I acknowledge that. If you're watching at a later time, I acknowledge you, that you were going to pray a prayer together of receiving Jesus. Is there anybody else? Before we move on today, anyone say, I need to respond to Jesus today? Awesome. I see the hand at the back. Thank you. With our eyes closed this morning, we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. And church, can I encourage you, can we all pray the prayer together as people respond to salvation in Jesus? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he died on a cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and he rose again on the third day. I confess that and I believe that. And from this moment on, I'm known. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life. Jesus, I'm following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, God bless you. If you pray that prayer again because you're like, I just need to get my life back in Jesus' order, God bless you. I'm so excited that you've done that. For those people who put their hands up this morning, after the service, I'm just going to be at the front here for as long as I need to be, whether that's to chat with you or to pray with people. And don't rush off. There's so much more to this life that God has called you to. There's steps that God wants you to take in following Jesus. If you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. And there's some information how to get in contact with us and how to follow Jesus well.